Hi, friends. Happy Sunday. You guys are a little blurry right now. Let me put on my glasses. Oh, there you are. You come into focus with glasses. What I'm going to do is give you all a link to a message that we are going to be looking at tonight. The name of this message is Thinking I Know. And this message was originally received and posted on October 31st, 2007. So it's a Halloween message. And again, this is Holy Spirit Guides. That's what we're here for. Holy Spirit Guides is the time that I've set aside to go over all of the personal messages that I've received from Spirit in order to be helpful to me. And of course, the time frame we're in now, this is when I was in relationship with Laurent. And so the messages that I received were actually for both of us in order to be helpful to both of us. And again, in the story of Regina and Laurent, we're in a period of time now where Laurent is back in France. He had come to my house for 6.5 weeks, but then went back to France for a couple of months. And he'll come back again just shortly before Christmas 2007. But right now he's in France and I'm in North Carolina. What I would like to do before we begin to look at the message is say a prayer. It's funny, my heart just leapt for joy when I said that. It kind of reminds me of in the Bible, if you read Luke in the Bible, the very first part of Luke. It talks about how when Mary found out that she was going to have a child, she was also told by the angel that her cousin Elizabeth, who had been barren, was going to have a child. And she went to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth, by the way, was pregnant with the one who was going to be John the Baptist. But she went to visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth said that when her eyes landed on Mary coming, that the baby in her womb leapt with joy. That John the Baptist recognized that Mary was carrying Christ. And just now when I said that I wanted to go into prayer, I felt my heart literally leap with joy, so excited that I was going to take a moment to go into prayer. So if y'all would join me, I would appreciate that. Holy Spirit, just before I closed my eyes, I saw my friend Linda post a heart in the room. And the heart, we know, is the symbol of love. And it was my heart that I felt leap for joy upon announcing that I was going to go into prayer. I know it is because the heart does recognize Christ. And the heart also recognizes the pathway to Christ. And the heart leaps for joy whenever we turn our attention to Christ within, or even to the pathway, even the walkway. The heart is so happy that we are willing to recognize our self. Holy Spirit, I am also grateful that I am willing to recognize myself. I am truly grateful that I am willing to put aside every concept of what I thought I was. And I am willing to open up to that realization of truth, even though it may be completely different than anything I know now. I am grateful for my willingness. I am grateful for my willingness. I am grateful for my willingness. Amen. All right. So I gave you all a link to a message. Here we are again, just in case a few people entered the room. And as I mentioned, this message is from October 31st, 2007. And it looks like I started off with a question. It looks like I was willing that day too. It looks like the question is somewhat similar to the prayer that I just prayed, where just now I was grateful for my willingness to let go of every concept of what I thought I was. And look at the very first sentence. I am willing to let go of thinking I know. Isn't that really the same willingness? All right, here's the question. I am willing to let go of thinking I know. I see clearly that thinking I know can be based on past experience. I also see that thinking I know can be tricky on the spiritual path when I think I know based on spiritual education. What would you share with me to help me let go of thinking I know? Before we go into Spirit's answer, I just want to take a moment to be grateful for the progress that I see in this message coming from October 2007. Because when I first began this spiritual path, I really had no idea that thinking I knew was the problem. I would say what I valued the most, and maybe this is true for all of us, what I valued the most was thinking I know, right? I valued thinking, thinking I know. I don't know how else to say that, you know. Valued thinking that I, as an individual, had my own wisdom. And I'm not talking about Holy Spirit's wisdom here, even though the words are the same. But, you know, through my learning, through my education, through my experience, I had become smart and was still becoming smarter, and I could make good judgments and figure my way out in a really healthy way. That's what I mean. You know, I was very, very happy that I had such good judgment. So thinking I know is what I valued the most. And when I first started learning from Spirit that I needed to let go of thinking, it's so funny, because I was writing NTI and not understanding the words that I was writing. When I go back now and I look at NTI, for example, NTI Luke, it is very, very, very clear that what Spirit is asking us to do is to let go of thinking we know, right? It's very clear. But it wasn't clear to me when I wrote it down. In fact, I was all the way to near the end of NTI Revelation before I realized the Spirit was asking me to let go of thinking. And I believe the reason I did not see this obvious guidance was because of how much value I put on my thinking, right? So when I look at this question, even though the question is being willing for a next step, right? The question is being willing to let go of thinking I know. The truth is, even getting to the point of asking this question is the effect of previous willingness, right? If there wasn't previous willingness to learn from Spirit, I never would have got to the point of even asking this question. So you see how every step of willingness is so important? It doesn't really matter what step we are on. If we give our willingness for that current learning, whatever it is that we need to be learning or letting go of now, if we just give our willingness, then it leads to the next step and the next step and the next step. Again, I'm grateful for my willingness, and I continue to give it. All right, so I asked this question again. I said, I am willing to let go of thinking I know. I see clearly that thinking I know can be based on past experience. I also see that thinking I know can be tricky on the spiritual path when I think I know based on spiritual education, right? Intellectual learning. What would you share with me to help me let go of thinking I know? And here's the answer. Thinking you know infiltrates the mind much more than you realize. So even though I'm giving this willingness here, Spirit is already telling me I'm just at the tip of the iceberg here. But thanks for coming to the tip of the iceberg, right? But I'm just beginning here. Thinking you know infiltrates the mind much more than you realize. You are just beginning to scratch the surface of looking at it. The first step has been taken, and this is great. You have realized that you depend much on thinking you know. And you have given willingness to realize that you do not. And by that he means that I do not know, or that the ego mind does not know. So even here, you know, it's funny because during the prayer I gave gratitude 3 times for my willingness. And Spirit seems to be thanking me for my willingness as well in this particular paragraph, right? Thanking me for my willingness to realize that I do not know like I think I do. So Holy Spirit shares our gratitude for our willingness. And if you just think about that for a moment, if we are grateful for our willingness, and if Holy Spirit shares that gratitude, the power in that gratitude is unspeakable. It is going to carry us to the next step and the next step and the next step, all the way to realization. So willingness is not a little thing. In fact, let me grab into that. For those of you who have NTI, when we're done here, if you want to read about willingness, I highly recommend NTI Galatians chapter 5. Right now I'm just going to take a little break and I'm going to read one little part from NTI Galatians chapter 5. NTI Galatians chapter 5 starts on page 333. You should be able to remember that if you want to go back and read it later. 333. But I'm going to be reading from 335. Listen to this, okay? And I noticed someone has their hand up. If you would just write out your comment, I'll get to it. But I feel like I'm staying in the flow for now. Thank you. Okay, so here we go. Focus on your willingness as if it is your truth, because it is. Focus on your willingness as if it holds the answer to all questions, because it does. Focus on your willingness as if it is everything to everyone, because it is. Focus on your own willingness. That is love alive within the world. So I don't think that we can comprehend with our thinking minds the power of our willingness. But if Holy Spirit shares gratitude with us for our willingness, that willingness has incredible power. And so it doesn't matter what step we're on. It doesn't matter what it is that we need to learn next or what it is that we need to let go of next. All we need to do is start by giving our willingness. And that's not a little thing, right? Great, great power there. In fact, let's look at the second paragraph in this particular message. And I do know that other people have entered the room, so I am giving the link again. And we are on the second paragraph of Spirit's answer. Listen to this. Simple steps are best on the gentle path to heaven. Do you hear that? Listen carefully. Simple steps are best on the gentle path to heaven. I think sometimes we push ourselves too hard. And I think what we don't realize when we push ourselves too hard is that that pushing effort is coming from ego. that pushing effort is coming from that belief that I am not good enough, right? And it pushes and it pushes and it works so hard, and there's a constant judgment energy behind it. How can that take us to heaven? The truth is, that is hell itself. Simple steps are best. Simple steps are best on the gentle path to heaven. So I ask you to take only this step now. So here was my guidance for that day. Be willing to notice when you think you know. Give me your constant permission to point this thought out to you when it appears in the mind. Then, when you see that you think you know, be fully willing to say in that moment, I do not know. One thing I've noticed in hindsight as I go back and I look at these messages that have come from Spirit is that Spirit has frequently given me mantras or maybe we could call them prayers that were appropriate for my current step. Right here where I'm giving my willingness to let go of thinking I know, Spirit is giving me a very simple practice that when I notice I think I know, and Spirit said, give me constant permission to point this out to you, which means if I'm giving permission to Spirit to point out to me when I think I know, I will start noticing it even more than I had up until this point, right? So when I start noticing that I think I know, Spirit is just asking me to say to myself, I do not know. I do not know. Now, again, we've been told that simple steps are best on the gentle path to heaven. So that really means that this I do not know is not a judgment against myself. It's not a harsh whipping with the whip, right? It's just a very, very gentle expression of my willingness. That's what it is. And it's not hard to do, right? I'm not being asked to do some kind of, you know, amazing gymnastics. I'm being asked, when you notice that you think you know, just say, I do not know. And I'm being asked to do it gently. I'm being told it's simple. So there's no real pushing. There's no real efforting. There's only a willingness to do this. It's gentle. It's relaxed. Right? Simple steps are best on the gentle path to heaven. So I ask you to take only this step now. Be willing to notice when you think you know. Give me your constant permission to point this thought out to you when it appears in the mind. Then, when you see that you think you know, be fully willing to say in that moment, I do not know. Now here's Spirit's, I'm going to call this a heads up.
Hello, Jamie.
I'm going to call this a heads up. Here's a heads up from Spirit. Fear is a common reaction to I do not know when practiced faithfully. If you see fear, rejoice. Remember that fear symbolizes resistance to letting go of the false as true. See fear in this circumstance as evidence that you are letting go of the false as true. In other words, the resistance is coming up. The resistance is coming up because I am actually doing something with my willingness. And if I just continue the practice gently and don't get freaked out at the resistance, that resistance will come up and be healed. It will come up and be healed. So Spirit is giving me a heads up so that I will know what to do when the resistance comes up. Now remember, I told you when we started this, I told you that I valued thinking I know more than anything else. Now we're talking about more than my child, right? More than my body, right? I valued thinking I know more than anything else. So if we're I'm going to say going after my highest value. You can imagine that there may be some fear. If I have believed that my good judgment, my human good judgment, has kept me safe, has kept the body safe, has kept my daughter safe, that's why it's valued even more than them, right? Because this is what keeps the things I value most safe. If I believe that thinking I know is the greatest asset I have, then you can imagine all of that value, right, that I have put on it, I'm going to experience some resistance when I start letting it go. That's only because of the value I put on it, right? I gave thinking I know so much power that when I start letting go of thinking I know, there's going to be some times of fear. It's going to feel like I'm letting go of my security, even more than money, right? It's going to feel like I'm letting go of my security. It's going to be terrifying at some points to be in I don't know land. But that's only because of the value that I put on it. So Spirit knows me. Spirit knows the value I have put on, I think I know. And so Spirit also knows that this resistance is there and that it's going to come up. So Spirit is giving me a heads up and is telling me in advance how to greet the fear, what to do with it. When the fear comes up, rejoice. Rejoice. He says, remember that fear symbolizes resistance to letting go of the false as true. So all this is the part of my mind that does not want to let go of this false belief. He says, so when you see it as a symbol that I am letting go of a false belief. How could resistance to letting go of a false belief come up unless I am letting go of a false belief, right? It's a good sign. It's literally the undoing of the value that I put on it. As I allow this resistance to come up and I do not panic, as I allow this fear to come up and I do not panic, I feel the fear, right? I rest, accept, and trust through the fear, and I continue to say this mantra, I do not know. I'm letting all that resistance come up to be healed, which means all the value that I placed on that idea is being undone. It's miraculous. And it is a simple step on a gentle path to heaven. Now, even as I was writing this with Spirit, notice what happens. Notice my next question. I said, okay, I'm feeling a bit of fear now. Like even talking about it is scaring me, right? I'm feeling a bit of fear now. Here's what I'm afraid of. I am afraid that I will confuse thinking I know and knowing. How do I tell the difference between thinking I know and knowing, which comes from you? Now, I will tell you, before we even read Spirit's answer, that ego is giving me a reason to hold on to my resistance. Ego appeals to the intellectual mind with a damn good story to get us to listen to it. I'm going to say that again. Some of you might even want to write this down. Hang it on the refrigerator in the bathroom mirror. Ego appeals to the intellectual mind with a damn good story. With a damn good story. Underline that if you're writing. With a damn good story. To get us to hold on to our resistance. So here's the first damn good story that resistance is coming up with. The damn good story is, wait a second, this is going to be hard because you're going to get confused. You're going to not only let go of thinking you know, but you're also going to let go of guidance. You're going to do both. And this is a reason to get, you know, this is a damn good story. Oh God, I can't do this. I'm going to get confused. I'm going to do it wrong. You see how that gets the fear going? That's a damn good story. That's what ego does. It comes up with damn good stories. Barbara says, exactly. Okay, so again, I said, okay, I'm feeling a bit of fear now. I am afraid that I will confuse thinking I know and knowing. How do I tell the difference between thinking I know and knowing, which comes from you? And here's Spirit's answer. The answer is not to depend on your thinking. Thinking you know comes from habit. Knowing does not. When you trust me in the moment with no interest in habit or past learning, you will know what to do. Knowing and thinking you know are not the same and do not come from the same idea within the mind. Trust yourself to know, and you will know. Trust me to point out when you think you know, and you will see clearly when you are thinking based on habit. Okay, now this is an incredible answer, but I'm going to take a moment just to draw a picture here. When I was asking the question, and the resistance was coming up with its damn good story, right? I was thinking, because I was thinking with ego, I was thinking that I had to use thinking to know the difference between thinking I know and guidance. I was thinking that I had to use thinking to know the difference between thinking I know and guidance. What Spirit is saying is don't use thinking. Use surrender. Use not thinking. Don't you, with your thinking, try to figure out if it's thinking you know or if it's guidance. Let go of thinking. Know that if you are surrendered, if you are trusting me, I will give you knowing and I will point out to you when you're thinking you know. In other words, Spirit is saying, with different words, the ego is not going to do this. It's letting go of the ego that's going to do this. I, Spirit, you know, the voice for your true self, I'm the one that's going to guide you in all of this. You aren't going to use your thinking to figure out how to follow this guidance. This is all about letting go of the thinking. I, Spirit, will give you your knowings, and I, Spirit, will point out to you when you think you know. Your only job is to follow. All right, next question. Sometimes remembering who we are clears things up. At the same time, we'd like to learn more about the specifics because we still feel we need healing. I don't even remember this question. And by the way, I've switched the language from I to we. I'm going to go on an assumption. This is actually a question I was asking more for Laurent. I wanted to include myself in Laurent's questions, even if they weren't specifically mine. And that's where the we language comes from. So let's see if I remember and I have an understanding of the question as we move forward. Right now, I don't even have a true understanding of the question because it wasn't my personal question. But maybe as we read the answer, I'll get it, and then I can explain the question. So again, the question was, sometimes remembering who we are clears things up. At the same time, we'd like to learn more about the specifics because we still feel we need healing. Well, we damn sure needed healing. I'm glad we thought we needed healing because we did. All right, here's the answer. Your desire, it's a good answer. Your desire to know more about the specifics comes from your desire to heal yourself. So Spirit is saying, even, you know, Laurent is really in the same place that I am, even though our questions seem different. But we're both in that place of thinking, that thinking has to heal us, right? And so we don't quite understand how healing happens, Spirit. I don't quite get that. So can you explain it to me a little better so I can do it? Now, it's funny because if you go back up, when I asked my question to Spirit, and Spirit pointed out, you know, that we take simple steps on the gentle path of to heaven. Spirit said, all I want you to do is this, right? All I want you to do is this. I'm going to point out for you when you're thinking you know. And when you notice that, because I've pointed it out, so when, you know, when it hits you that you're thinking you know in the moment, I just want you to say, I don't know. I want you to say, I don't know. Now notice, Spirit did not tell me that I had to understand anything. He did not say, you have to know how this healing is going to work or you won't be able to do it. Because I don't. All I have to do is be willing to follow those simple steps on this gentle path to heaven. I surrender to Spirit. I don't use thinking. I surrender to Spirit. Sometimes, you know, I'll be walking around, I'll be saying something to Laurent or saying something to somebody else, and all of a sudden I'm going to notice, bam, oh my God, I think I know. Listen to me talking the way I'm talking. Here I am thinking I know. I'm going to notice it because Spirit's going to highlight it for me. And as soon as I notice it, my only job is to say, I don't know. And probably the people who live with me can tell you I've gotten pretty good at that because they actually tease me because I'm always saying, I don't know the answer to that question. Don't I? Yeah, they tease me because all those things that I'm saying, I don't know the answer to that question, I would have in the past, without realizing I was doing it, came up with some answer. I would have thought I knew based on past experience, right? Now I'm like, oh, I don't know the answer to that question. But see, when we think that we, then by we in this case, I mean the we we're identified with, right? The ego, the thinking mind. When we think that we have to heal ourselves, we also think we have to understand the specifics of how the healing happens. We don't have to understand the specifics. We have to surrender and follow directions and trust. Simple steps on the gentle path to heaven. Simple steps on the gentle path to heaven. So again, Holy Spirit's answer. Your desire to know more about the specifics comes from your desire to heal yourself. This is from a desire to take control and fix what isn't broken. Although this desire is understandable when you are not clear, notice it is coming from lack of clarity. Notice you feel this desire to fix only when you perceive yourself as broken. You do not feel the desire to fix when you are knowing yourself as you are. Okay, so this question started off with, sometimes remembering who we are clears things up. Which means at some level that when we remember that we are not the body, when we remember for an instant that we are eternal self, this life really isn't our life, right? We're able to relax. Doesn't matter what's going on, we're just able to relax with that reminder. It clears things up. And Spirit is saying, notice that when you feel the desire to fix yourself, it's because in that moment you're perceiving yourself as broken. Never when you are in that relaxed state do you have any desire to fix yourself, right? So that desire to take control and fix yourself is clearly coming from ego. Now let's see, I notice... Regina, please say that again. Very powerful. I have no idea what I said. So I can't. I can't. Sometimes I notice what I just said is very powerful and I do repeat it. Oh, I did just repeat it. Good. But other times, I don't really know what I said. Okay, so your desire to know more about the specifics comes from your desire to heal yourself. You got that? It's not our job to heal ourselves. We don't have to know how healing works. We don't have to figure out the ins and outs of healing. That's ego. We have to have the willingness I talked about at the beginning of the hour, the willingness. And when the guidance comes, do this, we do it as an expression of our willingness. That's it. Your desire to know more about the specifics comes from your desire to heal yourself. This is from a desire to take control and fix what isn't broken. Now, when he says fix what isn't broken, he, of course, is talking about our self. He knows who we are. He's looking right at us. There's nothing there that needs to be fixed, right? Although this desire is understandable when you are not clear, when you're all freaked out, you think, you know, you're in fear, you think you're unworthy, you think you're like, so even Spirit's saying, I totally understand why you want to fix yourself when you feel that way, right? Although this desire is understandable when you are not clear, he says, notice it is coming from lack of clarity. Notice where it's coming from. Notice the source of the idea that you have to fix yourself. Notice the source. This is ego. Don't believe an idea that comes from ego. Although this desire is understandable when you are not clear, notice it is coming from lack of clarity. Notice you feel this desire to fix only when you perceive yourself as broken. You do not feel the desire to fix when you are knowing yourself as you are. Another good reason to relax. All of that efforting, all of that belief that I have to fix myself is coming from ego. You know, it's funny because it's not the practice, right? I can be given a practice, a mantra, whether the mantra is I do not know, or whether the mantra is, I am that I am, right? I can be given a mantra, and I can say that mantra gently and in willingness. Gently and in willingness, right? Or I can use that mantra to try and force some healing because I believe I'm broken. And the two intentions are not the same. The practice may be the same, but the two intentions are not the same. You know, by, quote, coincidence, actually it's holy guidance, I guess. You know, I mean, I didn't hear it as a booming voice from God, but I believe these types of coincidences have to be guidance. I posted something from Muji today on my Facebook page. I also posted it, laughingly, on Muji's page. In fact, I posted it on Muji's page first. And Muji is teaching in that YouTube clip, about 8 or 9 minutes, exactly what Spirit is teaching through this message about the relax. Quit trying. Quit trying. And if we were going to use, you know, Inner Ramana or Ramana Maharshi's self-inquiry, we'd really have to ask, wouldn't we, who is the I that is trying? Who is the I that is trying? Isn't it the I that thinks I need to be fixed? Isn't it the I that definitely is not clear? Right? The eye that's fearful, judging. Well, why am I following its guidance? Do I think for a moment that that eye has any idea how to heal? Now, I did get a question from a person who was a little confused after watching the Muji YouTube today. In fact, I'll send her this recording because this is turning out perfect for her. Her question was about practice. You know, she said after watching Muji telling us to relax, right, to don't do anything, she said, but what about my practice? What about my practice? Well, if the practice is coming from guidance, and you know it's coming from guidance, then you do the practice. But you remember it's a simple step on the gentle path to heaven. You do the practice. And relax. simultaneously. It's not practice or relax. It's practice and relax simultaneously. Simple step on the gentle path to heaven. Simple step on the gentle path to heaven. Okay, so again, my next question then was, there is a lot of confusion in the mind today. We are okay with it because we are watching it from the place of observer. But yes, there is a feeling that something needs fixing. Here's Spirit's answer. The observer is helpful because the observer is one step back from the game. But the observer is still observing a game with some attachment, with some interest. So the observer is not fully that which you are. It is a stepping stone, a level of awareness that is helpful, but it is a level of awareness that still seems to need help. This is why you watch from observer and still seek fixing. Now, I have experienced within myself what I'm going to call different levels of observer, because you can step further and further and further back. You're still in the observer role, but you truly are less and less and less attached. So obviously, based on how Spirit is talking to us now, although we felt we were in observer, we were, I'm going to call it, in a forward position of observer, still fairly close to the action. Otherwise, we could not possibly observe and feel confusion too. But that's what we often are doing when we're using the practice of rest, accept, and trust. Rest, accept, and trust is teaching us to take that one step back. And if we will learn to take that one step back, additional steps back will come. You know, Peace Pilgrim said, if you live up to the highest light that you are given. Oh no, let me change that. She said, if you live up to the highest light that you have, more light will be given. If you live up to the highest light that you have, whatever that is, more light will be given. So if the best I can do is a hair back from my confusion, a hair back from my fear, right? A hair back from my self-judgment, and observe it a little bit, with a little bit of observing instead of being totally caught up in it. If that's the best I can do now, then that's what I do now. And more will be given. I will naturally, on this gentle path to heaven, learn to go further and further back into observer. It's natural. I just do what I can now. The process of healing is the will of God for us. Therefore, the process of healing is absolute perfection. And from where we are now, it's completely natural. We don't need to make it happen. We just need to get out of the way and let it happen. Let it happen. We follow the guidance we are given, not from an efforting, not from a have to fix, but as an expression of our willingness. So the observer is helpful because the observer is one step back from the game. That's the level of observer that we were at then. There are observers that are more than one step back, right? The observer is helpful because the observer is one step back from the game, but the observer is still observing a game with some attachment. That's where we were. With some interest. That means with some belief. So the observer is not fully that which you are. It is a stepping stone, a level of awareness that is helpful, but it is a level of awareness that still seems to need help. This is why you watch from observer and still seek fixing. The best thing to do whenever you seek fixing is to realize you are looking at all that is from a limited view. I'm going to read that sentence again. The best thing to do whenever you seek fixing is to realize you are looking at all that is from a limited view. Okay, now he has given us two simple instructions for two different, problems, for lack of a better word here. He's given us two simple instructions, okay? If the current issue is that I'm thinking I know, if I notice that I'm having a conversation with Linda and I'm blah, blah, blahing, thinking I know, right? Based on the past, based on learning, I'm in thinking. And I notice it. Then I stop and say, I do not know. That's a simple practice. And now he's given us a second simple practice. If in the mind, and you guys listen, because I know a lot of you have this issue. It's a simple practice. And for some of you, it might be the absolute perfect practice for you now. If in the mind you notice that you think you need fixing, then in that moment, realize or accept the thought within your mind that you are looking at all that is from a limited view. Are you taking notes? If you need this, please write it down, because these simple steps on the gentle path to heaven work, and I know it from my own experience. It's one thing to sit and listen to these teachings and then to walk off and forget them. NTI says that's like a man who looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he saw. You may hear when I'm speaking, you may hear the power in this. But then if you walk away and you don't do it, you won't experience the power in this. Right? We want to get beyond hearing the power to experiencing the power. So, yep, here we go again. All right? If your current issue is, okay, if this is where you are, and it may not be where everyone is, but if you are in a place where you think you need fixing, that thought comes up in that mind that you need fixing, right? Then whenever you notice that thought, whenever you notice the thought that you need fixing, then take a moment to allow the thought, I am looking at all that is from a limited view. That's a simple step on the gentle path to heaven. I am looking at all that is from a limited view. For some of you, that may be the exact mantra you need right now based on where you're at. I am looking at all that is from a limited view. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to know how it works, how it's going to heal you. Just out of willingness to be healed, you have to practice it. The best thing to do whenever you seek fixing is to realize you are looking at all that is from a limited view. This is a time to practice rest, accept, and trust. And the observer is a perfect place for practicing with this practice. But when you are practicing rest, accept, and trust, do not feel that you are fully in the place of knowing. You are in a place of allowing, which will carry you to knowing. But you are not in knowing yet. You are remembering knowing when you remember to practice rest, accept, and trust. So again, that first level of observer is only the first level of observer. But if you do that, it's going to move you further and further back. He says, knowing knows no need for fixing. When you know only perfection, then you know. So if you're thinking that you need fixing, you're in ego, right? Thinking I need fixing equals I'm in my wrong mind. Therefore, I better not think for myself about what to do. Instead, I better just follow these directions. Oh, I am looking at all that is from a limited view. That's what I'm supposed to say. I am looking at all that is from a limited view. Okay, now if I'm feeling a lot of confusion, I'm feeling a lot of fear, I'm feeling a lot of judgment, I will combine that with rest, accept, and trust. Now again, by coincidence, which I'm going to call guidance, although I didn't know it was guidance at the time, I have spent the afternoon listening to Muji and Laurent. I was listening to the first recording again, and some parts of it I even rewound and, you know, listened to a couple of times. I was really listening to the first recording of Muji and Laurent. Okay? And 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes before I turned on Pal Talk and came in, I was writing down what I'm about to read to you now. I was listening and writing down every word that Muji was saying because this felt so important for me to write down. And now it fits perfectly with the teaching. We've heard that if we go into the first level of observer, which is rest, accept, and trust, right? If we think we need fixing, if we are willing to realize that we're looking at all that is from a limited view, if we just do that, right, those simple steps on the gentle path to heaven, we will naturally move further and further and further back into observer. As we live up to the light we have, more light will be given, right? Simple steps on the gentle path to heaven. Now, here's what Muji has to say. Muji is talking about the same process, but he's talking about as we've moved further and further and further back into observer, there comes a time when the next step back is beyond observer into awakening, right? It's a natural process. We go further and further back in observer, and then there comes the time, for lack of better words, when the movement, the next movement back, is beyond observer. Okay, listen to Muji's words. When consciousness... Oh, wait, let me make sure I'm starting on the right page. These are all like a little stickies. Let me get my little stickies in the right order here. Okay, here we go. Here's what Muji said to Laurent, the same man that this message is to, right? Okay, here we go. A thought comes, and the consciousness is believing this thought, and then in turn is suffering from its projection. So this is where he starts in the story, right? A thought comes into the mind, and consciousness is caught up in thinking it is the ego, thinking it is the I, believing it, and so it believes the thought, and that's where suffering comes from. You couldn't have suffering if you didn't have consciousness believing it was the I thought, and then placing that belief with another thought. Okay? So a thought comes, and the consciousness is believing this thought, and then in turn is suffering from its projection. The thought itself is mind. The thought itself is mind. And the consciousness itself is sort of identifying with a thought, right? Consciousness is sort of identifying with thought, sort of, because it's roundabout. First, consciousness is identifying with I, and then through I, it's identifying with a thought. So it's not direct, right? Consciousness identifies with I, and then through I, identifies with a thought like, I can't get this. I can't get this. I can't understand. All right? The thought itself is mind, and the consciousness itself is sort of identifying with a thought. So then, the consciousness is combining itself with thought. When consciousness discovers what it really is, it functions only as a sort of pure witness. Pure witness is the observer, right? When consciousness discovers what it really is, it functions only as a sort of pure witness. It's not involved. Now, what he's talking about, when he says it's not involved, he's not talking about that first level of observer where we have to rest, accept, and trust. He's talking about a mind, you know, an I, an us, a you and a me, who has started at that first level of observer. And through this natural progression, we've moved so far back, but now our experience is, I'm not involved. In fact, he used an example with Laurent that there could be a loud noise and we won't even respond. Jamie just did. Boy, she jumped up. But that we'll be so not involved that there won't even be a jump when there's a loud, unexpected noise, right? So this is when we've moved way back into observer, but we're still in observer. When consciousness discovers what it really is, it functions only as a sort of pure witness. It's not involved. And shortly after not being involved with what it witnesses, the lights go out. And it stops being just a witness, which is still a subtle form of duality. Then this consciousness will just merge with the Absolute. When consciousness discovers what it really is, it functions only as a sort of pure witness. It's not involved. And shortly after not being involved with what it witnesses, the lights go out, and it stops being just a witness, which is still a subtle form of duality. Then this consciousness will just merge with the Absolute. Live up to the highest light that you have, and more light will be given. It's given through grace. We don't make it happen. We don't work it. We just follow those simple steps, and we allow the gentle path to heaven. We allow it to carry us. It's not our job to fix ourselves. It's our job to follow this guidance and rest in God. Let's see. Regina, do you have the link to Muji and Laurent talking? You know what? If you hold on for half a second, I can get it for you. Let's see. More than half a second, because my brain forgot how to do technical stuff while I was, you know, being in spirit. I need to bring my thinking mind back now. Okay, here we go. The thinking mind does have its purposes. All right, here is the link to Muji and Laurent. I'll read the link out loud for the recording. It's http://. muji.org/audio_archive_1.html. Again, that's muji.org/audio_archive_1.html. And when you get to that particular page, there's several audios there, but if you scroll down until you see the picture of Muji and Laurent, you will find four talks there. And what I listened to today was the first talk. Very good. Very good. And in fact, for me, it was so good that, like I said, there were some parts that I would, you know, rewind back and listen to two or three times. In fact, I'm not done. I still have about 10 minutes left, and I did confess to Donna when she came that I didn't really want to quit listening to come and teach. But I'll go back later before I go to bed. I'll finish that last 10 minutes. Okay, my time is up, so I'm going to let go of the mic. Dove and Linda, I will send you an email, but I'm not going to be here next Sunday night. I thought I would try and push it and get back from Wyoming in time to teach, but I could feel in my gut that that wasn't a good idea. So I'm not going to be here next Sunday night. I will be traveling back from Wyoming. Regina, what is the name of the musician from Israel that you have played before? It's actually a collection of musicians. It's a CD that is called Israel, Golden Songs of Hope and Faith. Again, the name of the CD is Israel, Golden Songs of Hope and Faith. Okay, and if you have more questions, feel free to email me. All right? Good night, everyone.